Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalms 139. You know, sometimes you come across things you've read before repeatedly, and the Lord just reaches out and says, pay attention to me here. Well, during not too terribly long ago, it was in my private time, and I was reading Psalms 139, and the more I read it, the deeper it went in. Deeper it went in, the more I read it. The more I read it, the deeper it went in, and it was just an overflow. So tonight, I want to challenge you. Let's think, okay? On Sunday night, I realize this is tough, but I want you to think about what we're reading. Take your Bible, and we're going to learn about God tonight. And you say, preacher, don't we learn about God every time? Well, yes, but we're going to do it more personally tonight. Psalms 139 and verse 1 is where we're going to begin reading. We're going to read 16 verses. I know that sounds like a lot, but we'll go through it in reasonable amount of time, okay? I want to invite you to stand, and I want you to pay close attention to the Scripture and what it says. Put your place in the psalmist, okay? When he says me, think of you, all right? Psalms 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. The night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. And I want to encourage you to hold your place in this psalm, because we're just going to go right through it, okay? Word by word and letter by letter. Basically, we begin there in verse 1 about what God knows. Do you ever think about what God knows about you? I mean, do you stop and meditate and contemplate? You say, well, God knows everything. But do you really realize He knows everything? The psalmist starts out, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me." That word "search" means to examine thoroughly. And become, that word "known" means to become acquainted with someone. God has looked at you inside. And the psalmist, he paints a picture here of being absolutely bare in the innermost recesses of his heart. Every crack, every crevice, God knows. There's nothing about him. There's nothing about you that God does not know. Sometimes I think we want to acknowledge God and think, "Well, God knows what I want Him to know." No, He does not know what you want Him to know. He knows everything. You have no secrets from God. Every thought, every feeling, every good feeling, every bad feeling, every bit of love, every seed of bitterness, God knows it all. And isn't that good? I mean, He knows the bad as well as the good. He has absolute, complete knowledge of you. There's nothing that shadows, or that is shadowed from the vision of God. He knows it. Now, when you chew on that a little while, doesn't that make you feel, wow? Because I'll be honest with you, there are things I don't want you to know about me. And I'll go a step farther. There's things that you don't want me to know about you. You know. But God knows those things. He knows, and the psalmist elaborates on it here. God knows the most simple things about you. He knows when you sit down and you're idle. He knows when you stand up and you're active. He sees. He knows when... And understands that verse 2. You understand my thought afar off. God knows how you think. He knows why you think the way you do. He knows what you think. He knows your beliefs, your goals, your desire, your intentions, your issues. He knows it all. And He knows your thoughts even before you know your thoughts. Isn't that deep? You know? Have you ever had a thought? You're like, "Oh, yeah. Well, God knew that before you even had that thought." That's the God we serve. God comprehends your paths. You're lying down. Wherever you're headed, He knows when you're asleep at night. You ever think, you know, when you're unconscious, God's still conscious and well aware of you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're going to do. God knows every word on your tongue. You see, God knows this message before I preach it. I don't even know everything I'm going to say before I preach a message, but God does. Every word, God knows. With all that knowledge, I want you to understand, you know, if you're married, you get this. The longer you're married, the more you know one another. Sometimes Beth can finish my sentences, I can finish her sentences. God knows you even deeper than that. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. The psalmist says in verse 5, you've hedged behind me and before me and laid your hand upon me. God has covered you. He's enveloped you. It reminds me of Moses. When Moses said, "God, I want to see your glory." God says, "You can't see my glory. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you up on the rock, and when I pass by, I'll put you in the cleft of that rock and cover you with my hand." And that's as close as you can come to seeing my glory. As the psalmist thought about what that meant, in his relationship with God. In verse 6, David says, God, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain it. I can't even understand everything that my God knows about me. Oh, but we go on to verse 7. And the comforting part, not only does God know you, He knows where you're going. He knows what tomorrow holds. Next week, next month, next year. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Where can I travel that you're not already there? You know, that's something that I do have a problem with sometimes, practicing the presence of God wherever I am. Well, when I'm in my car, God's there. When I'm out in the middle of nowhere, God's there. When I'm on vacation, God is there. There's nowhere even that I can run if I decide, no, I'm going to flee from God. There's nowhere I can flee. But God is already there. I'm reminded of preachers, you know. All preachers talk about running from God and how absolutely foolish that is. Where are you going to run? That my God is not there. There is nowhere. The psalmist says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. A step beyond that. Or if I make my bed in hell or Sheol, the abode of the dead, the grave, hell, the pit, you're there. There's nowhere, God, that I can go. If I fly away with the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God, you are there. And your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. I'm reminded of old Jonah, who God said, go here. Jonah went the other way. And you know where Jonah found God? In the belly of a big fish. God was there. You see, I want you to experience what I experienced. As I sat down and I started trying to fathom, and I'll be honest with you, I cannot fathom a God that is this big. But that's okay. If I could understand all that God is, He wouldn't be God, would He? Oh, we go on. In verse 13. Not only does He know me. Not only is He anywhere I go. That there's nowhere that I can be apart from the presence of God. Have you ever felt lonely? Why? God's there. Yeah. There's nowhere that I can go apart from the presence of God. We take it a step farther in verse 13 as He says, oh, and God, You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. You formed me in the inward parts. To put it in our language, You created me from the inside out. You see, the inward parts, that's the most secret part of a man. Some would call it a conscience. Some may even call it your soul. But it was actually a metaphor in that day. It was a metaphor for the interior of a grain of wheat. The interior of the grain of wheat. The psalmist says, God, You started with the inside. Do you know the gifts you have? And we acknowledge the gifts we have come from God. But do you ever think about God formed you from the inside out. And He put the gifts that you have. Can you sing? God put it there when He was forming you. Can you preach? Can you teach? God put it there. The compassionate, loving heart that you have, that was put there by God. And it was put there intentionally. Are you an encourager, an administrator, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher? God put it all there before He ever formed you. He said, and You covered me in my mother's womb. The New American Standard, I like better. You wove me in my mother's womb. Not only did God put it there, but He put it all together so that it fit just right to make you the individual that you are. It gets even better. It says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I want you to understand, He's not speaking of Himself here. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. No, He's speaking of the Maker. All right? When He says, I'm fearfully, and here it is, don't let it get away with you, okay? That word fearfully means awesome. I am awesomely made. I'm not awesome, but I'm awesomely made. That as you back up and you look at every individual here, you've got to just back up and say, wow. That I can't even address it. It's so awesome. I'm awesomely and wonderfully. That word wonderful, it means different. But you look around here. I mean, we have some good people in this church. Some people that I really appreciate. I love my church family. You know what makes this church so good? Everybody's different. That's what that word wonderfully means. We say, I'm awesomely and differently made. Look around at individuals. You know, God doesn't make two people the same. Have you ever noticed that? You look around here, you look at the differences. Some are short, some are tall. Some are loving and compassionate. Some have different gifts. But there's no two people in here the same. When it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you're reminded that you're not like anybody else. You're an individual. You're unique by the hand of Almighty God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I praise God for the differences. I'm glad we're not all alike. But only God can do something like that. He says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You got to look around and you got to say, wow, God. You did good. You did awesomely. But He didn't stop there. Not only did God begin to create you from the inside out, He fashioned your outside. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance and being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. I'm going to tell you how awesome your God is. Not only did He form you from the inside, He formed you from the outside. Okay? He made you who you are. Right? So never get to feeling sorry for yourself and say, oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. No, you were created by an awesome God. Right? And I mean, don't let that go to your head. But at the same time, I've heard somebody say, God don't make trash. And He does not. Verse 16 takes it even a step farther. He says, before I was even formed, the days were fashioned for me when there were yet no days. Before I even had a form, God, You looked ahead and You saw my life. And You fashioned the days for me. You set my life on its course. Do you realize the God that formed you, the God that knows you, before you were ever born, He set the course of your life. I want to tell you, you are where you are. For a purpose. Do you understand that? You're not here by accident. You're not just going through. I've heard people say, well, I don't understand why I'm going through this. It's okay. You don't have to understand why you're going through everything you go through, because the God that you serve understands it. He knows why you are where you are. And He knows what He's put you there for. You know what your requirement is? Your requirement is to be faithful to that awesome God that has created you and set your days on their course. You know, you hear people make statements. I don't like where I am. I don't know why God has got me here. I've heard older people say, I don't know why God still got me around. Well, you may not know, but rest assured, God knows. And that's enough. Amen? God knows. God knows. And then we're going to close with this thought, verse 17 and 18. When you consider everything that God knows about you, when you consider there's nowhere you go that's outside the presence of God, when you consider that He formed you on the inside, that He formed you on the outside, and that He set the course of your days, the psalmist, considering all that, says, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. How precious are your thoughts. How precious it is to know that God has set His mind upon you. Yeah. How precious it is that to know that God really does care about you. I want you to think about that. And we say, oh, God loves us. I want you to stop it. Do you realize the God that has done all those things for you loves you? And He takes great care in providing for you. Love the Scripture. The hairs on your head are numbered. You know? The hairs on your head are numbered. There's not a sparrow that falls from the sky that God does not know about. You know what He says? It's, you're more valuable than a sparrow. God really does care. I'm reminded of Hebrews 2:6. What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of? What, we back up and we think, who am I, God, that you're mindful of me? And once again, I'd have to go back to where we began. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It's high. I can't attain it. God, I can't understand why you love me so much that you'd give your only begotten Son to die so that I could have eternal life. But you did. This is our awesome God. I want to tell you, the more you chew on Psalms 139, the more you back up and you just say, wow, what an awesome God that we serve. Do you know Him? He knows you. He knows you. He formed you. He made you inside and out. He knows where you are. He knows why you're there. But do you know Him? Is He the Lord of your life? Listen, if not, I want to tell you, the joy is when that knowledge becomes a two-way street. And don't misunderstand me. I'll never know God the way He knows me. But I want to tell you, I praise God that I know Him as my Savior. And I know that in those things in this life that I do not understand, I can trust Him. Because He's working all things for my good. And I know that even though I may not understand everything about our God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because He said in His Word that He does love us. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If not, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not make Him the Lord of your life? He formed you. He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. Now He gives you an invitation that says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I wonder why people fight these battles without Jesus. Why in the world would you do it? If God did all these things in creating you and setting your course of your life, why would you want to go through this life without God? It makes no sense. Will you come to Jesus tonight? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Psalms 139. What an encouragement it is to know what you have done for us. And we can't understand and we can't fathom your greatness. Oh, but we are truly thankful that you are mindful of us. We are truly thankful that you did send your Son upon this earth to be the sacrifice for our sin. We are truly thankful to know that whoever calls upon you shall be saved. Lord, we may not understand everything, but what a blessing it is to know that you are still on the throne and there is nothing that is not beyond your control. Thank you, Lord. Now we pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.